When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, all you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or in need of clothes, or ill, or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to their eternal punishment, but the righteous to their eternal life.
Why does Jesus seemingly have it in for goats? Well, I'm perhaps with him on this. As you can see from this photo, I was quite a sweet child who liked animals. But in this next photo, you can see me being brutally attacked by a goat. And I even lost my rubber giraffe in the encounter. You have to watch out for goats, because they're out to get you. But the goats in our parable are of an even more dubious reputation than the one that attacked me when I was a child, and to which my dad just stood there taking a photo of, rather than trying to protect me from. The parable of the sheep and the goats is a continuation of Jesus' teaching about his eventual return, and the kind of expectant life that his disciples are to live in the period before that time. The parable begins with the image of the Son of Man coming in glory, Jesus returning as king to his creation at the conclusion of history. The picture painted of Jesus seated on a glorious throne, surrounded by angels with all the nations, that is everyone, Jew and Gentile, gathered before him. And all those gathered will be judged and separated by the Son of Man. They will be classified either as sheep or as goats. And sheep and goats were kept in mixed flocks in the Palestinian countryside. And the physical differences between sheep and goats were not as distinctive as they are today after 2,000 years of selective breeding. However, sheep are sent to the right and goats to the left. The sheep to the right were gifted an inheritance from the Father. That inheritance is a place in the kingdom of God when it fully comes. It's a gift that is given in grace. The reason for the gift is that when those who were considered sheep saw someone who was hungry, they gave them something to eat. When they saw someone who was thirsty, they gave them something to drink. When they saw a stranger, they invited them in. When they saw someone unclothed, they clothed them. When they saw someone ill, they cared for them. When they saw someone in prison, they visited. And Jesus, the king, says that when you did this for one of the least of these brothers or sisters, you actually did this for him. The sheep didn't realise they were actually doing any of these acts of kindness for Jesus. They were done without any calculation for reward. They were done simply caring for people. The goats, however, are sent away and receive no inheritance. They're not guaranteed a place in the kingdom, but instead will be consumed in the eternal fire, that image of an everlasting separation from God. The reason for the goats' non-inheritance was that when they saw someone who was hungry, they didn't give them something to eat. When they saw someone who was thirsty, they didn't give them something to drink. When they saw a stranger, they didn't invite them in. When they saw someone unclothed, they didn't clothe them. When they saw someone ill, they didn't care for them. When they saw someone in prison, they didn't visit. The goats didn't realize that there was a potential in serving Jesus through caring for those in need. When Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead, some will be welcomed into the kingdom and some will not. Some will spend eternity with him, some will not. But all need to be ready for that unknown and unknowable time when it comes, so that disciples of Jesus will be judged to be sheep rather than goats. This is what the parable tells us. The parable isn't about salvation by works, despite the difficulties many have had since the Protestant Reformation with the implications of Jesus' words here. Jesus isn't saying that what you do in your life determines you'll get saved. And he isn't saying that the least of these brothers and sisters of mine means it only refers to Christians that we help. The words of Jesus reflect well the tenor of the whole of Jesus' ministry that we have recorded in the Gospels, where Jesus showed kindness and compassion to all, whether or not they were considered to be religiously acceptable or even Jewish. The grace of God that Jesus shows was not limited, so we should not limit the scope of Jesus' words. Jesus is saying, if you are one of his disciples, it should be evident in the way you live your life. It will be evident in the way that you care for those who are in need. We don't earn our salvation by caring for others, because the sheep who are commended care even though they don't realize that they are doing it. They were not motivated in their care for others by trying to earn any brownie points. They're motivated simply because they saw someone in need. And there are many passages in the Bible that say works of mercy are signs of a genuine allegiance to God. For instance, in Isaiah we have these words, Is it not the kind of fasting I've chosen to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, clothe them, and to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Jesus, in this parable, isn't teaching that everyone, irrespective of their faith commitment, who performs such work is saved, but is saying that everyone who is saved through an allegiance to him will perform such works. Good works are proof of the salvation pudding. And the challenge of this passage is, what evidence is Jesus seeing in your life that you care for those who are in need? The challenge of this passage is for us to learn to be better sheep in our lives, rather than us finding out that we are goats. Sheep are not uncommon creatures in the story of the Bible. Sheep are, for instance, used as an image for the people of God in the Old Testament. We thought about these words a few weeks ago from Ezekiel's prophecy. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. The shepherd that Ezekiel prophesies about is Jesus, and Jesus in turn refers to those who follow him as sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for them, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes out ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. We are to be sheep as disciples of Jesus. So what does it mean to behave as a better sheep of Jesus in the context of this parable? It's not about learning to eat grass properly. Two little stories. Giovanni di Pietro di Bernardoni was the son of a wealthy silk merchant, and he lived the high life. He was handsome, witty, gallant, he liked fine clothes, but he became disillusioned with such a life and was not happy, and he felt his life was incomplete. One day when he was out riding, he met a leper, loathsome, repulsive, in the ugliness of his disease. Something moved in Giovanni to dismount, fling his arms around the wretched sufferer, and in his arms the face of the leper changed to the face of Christ. Giovanni was known to his family and friends as Francis, and he was born in Assisi. Martin of Tours was a Roman soldier and a Christian. One cold winter day, as he entered a city, a beggar stopped him and asked for alms. Martin had no money, but the beggar was blue and shivering with cold, and Martin gave him what he had. He took off his soldier's cloak, worn and frayed as it was. He cut it in two, half, and gave half of it to the beggar. That night he had a dream. In it he saw the heavenly places and all the angels and Jesus in the midst of them. And Jesus was wearing half a Roman soldier's cloak. One of the angels said to him, "Master, why are you wearing that battered old cloak? Who gave it to you?" Jesus answered softly, "My servant Martin gave it to me." William Barclay writes, "When we learn the generosity which, without calculation, helps men in the simplest things, we too will know the joy of helping Jesus Christ himself." Humble service and generosity is how we behave as sheep. Not by doing things that get us attention, not by helping the rich and the powerful, but by reaching out to those in need. The way of Jesus is not the path of glamour, but the way of humble service, where the care for others is unrecognized and unacknowledged. It is not exhibitionist examples of philanthropic largesse, but where we care for others in a natural and unnoticed way. Our service of Jesus is best demonstrated in how we serve the least, because we are all created in God's image and are all valued by God. This is what it means to be a shepherd of God's flock. God sent his Son to save the whole world, not just the nice and respectable. And we are to serve all because God in Christ has served us. Living as a sheep in Jesus' flock is about living the kind of life that Jesus lived. A life of generosity and care, a life that seeks to help the needy, and we need to do that now, and we cannot wait. There is an urgency to Jesus' words in this parable. For as Michael Wilkins writes, we need to live as though Jesus is coming back today. Plan as though he's not coming back for 100 years, though. We do not know when the end will come, but we must be prepared. Our acts of kindness and care cannot wait for us to catch a glimpse of Jesus seated on his throne, because all the acts Jesus condemns the goats for occur in the past. So we need to be living the kind of life that cares for the least now. We need to be living a life worthy of Jesus' return now. The progression of Jesus' teaching about his unknown and unknowable return in Matthew's chapters 24 and 25 focuses on a state of expectative readiness that his disciples need to maintain in their lives of discipleship. In the short parable in Matthew 24, which has the faithful keeping the house ready for his master's return and the wicked servant abusing that trust placed in them, the parable of the 10 virgins drives home the message of readiness in the face of the unknown and unknowable delay to the return of the bridegroom. The parable of the talents is about taking responsibility with the new life we have been given in Christ and making sure we live lives of love and grace when the master returns. And the parable of the sheep and goats shows that these lives of love and grace are about serving those who are the least. As disciples of Jesus, we are called to be ready, to live ready for the unexpected and unknown return of Jesus, living as faithful disciples of Jesus today. So don't be a goat. Learn to live as better sheep. Because one day the shepherd is coming back to check on his flock, and we need to be ready. And Advent is a time when we can ready ourselves for his return. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, may we be ready for your return. May we treat everyone in the way we would treat you. Come, Lord Jesus, come.